Amen. If not, would you turn with me to the psalm, Psalms 85, a few scriptures in this psalm. We're going to start with verse 1 in Psalm 85. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. And I want to stop the reading right here. When I initially, scriptures came before me, I was focusing on verse 6. Wilt thou not revive us again? And as I continue to think about it this morning early, the first part of that psalm, the Lord just began dealing with me. And if I could make a parallel with that psalm, I started to dismiss it. I started to dismiss it because I didn't think it applied. But then the Holy Spirit began dealing with me. And he's speaking on behalf of Israel in the flesh, but we are Israel in the spirit. And is God displeased with us? Is God wanting us to change? We have a heritage of 100 years plus in this church. And we have wonderful testimonies of how the work, the gospel work, started in the community where the church was first founded. It's miraculous. There's no other word for it. But led of God, miraculous. No way would you pick to start a church in that part of the city. Heavily entrenched in a different religion. Heavily entrenched in a different religion. And send two men to begin to evangelize. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? God, you can't stop it. When the Holy Spirit moves, when it's led by God, it can't be stopped. And we're here as a result of that, and we've had our ups and downs. Let's be real this morning. We've had our ups and downs. There are things that I know that... Some of us know that if it were to be spoken would be not good. But God has protected us all these years because not of who we are, not of our bloodline or anything else, not that we're special people. It was God's mercy and God's love that brought us to this very hour. And we have lost many people over time. I'm not going to speculate. I'm not going to get into all the details. But I've seen through my history people leaving, pursued other venues, Some stayed with the Lord, some didn't. And I ask myself, I'm being really honest with you this morning, Lord, you want us to get where we need to be. And you know, we can say, well, it's the pastor's fault. And I take responsibility as pastor. It's the pastoral staff's fault. It's the assistant, associate pastor. It's the deacon's fault. It's a teacher's fault. Somebody else's fault. But we are a body. We have different callings, but we're a body. And to be where God wants us to be, the body has to function together. The Word of God talks about the unity. Brother Steve had a message on unity just a few weeks ago, I believe. We've had several messages on unity. Have you noticed how serious the messages have been the last several months? Is there a reason for that? Did the brothers wake up on the wrong side of the bed? Are they mad at people? No, that's not it. The Holy Spirit is speaking to us because he realizes the time in which we live. Paul wrote to Thessalonians, you have no need that I remind you and tell you of the time in which you live. Someone said in the news, one of the politicians or retired army, I don't know who it was, I forgot the name now, but we're living in the most dangerous time in our history, speaking of the world conditions. And I don't know if that's probably true. I kind of think it is. All what's going on. We have atomic bombs, and we have advanced weapons, and we have people that are just deranged, have control of some of these things. And there's no peace in this world. And some think, well, it's world's out of control. And you, from a non-Christian perspective, you can look at that and say that's probably the case. But God is in control. Everything that's taking place, he knows. He's in control. We think it's chaos out there, and it is. But God says, I got it under control. Everything's happening according to the Word. And our focus should not be what's out there. What's going on in here and in here. Amen? What's going on especially in here? Am I where I need to be? Am I part of the problem or the solution? Being part of the problem is saying it's someone else's problem. Taking ownership of the condition of the church is part of the solution. My feeling, we can't look at ourselves and say, well, everything's okay. It's not okay. We got problems like every other church, but we got issues. We need the Holy Spirit to move. We need the baptism. We need the power of God. We need to see the gifts in operation. We need to see people coming back. We need to see the gospel message being propagated. We need to see the unity of the Spirit. And I read in Revelations where he wrote to the seven churches, Jesus' letter to the seven churches, and every one of the churches, it had something they had to do. There was no church that was okay. Some were better than others, but none of them were okay. They all had things to do. And in many cases, he says, repent. Repent. The message was to look at yourselves. And Jesus pointed out exactly what to look at. The Holy Spirit, the Word, it's discerning. Some of the brother testified, and two brothers, about the Word being alive. It is alive. It goes right to the heart of the matter. And the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit knows. And they say, Lord, help us. We need revival. We need revival. You know, our spiritual life is different from our natural life. In our natural life, we're weakest at the beginning and the end. Very fragile. When we're first born, when we pass, we're fragile physically. Our spiritual life, we start out strong. Especially when we get baptized, we're strong in the Lord. And when we get to the end, we're still in the Lord, but we're strong at the end. But sometimes in the middle, that pole, that line that attaches from one to the end seems to droop. And we get cooled off and life gets in the way and the enemy is constantly working on us and trying to drag us away from God. Distractions, attractions. And we fight this carnality in our humanity that is ever with us. And it draws us to other things. And we let pride get in the way, and we let sin get in the way. And it changes our thinking. It muddies the waters. And the Holy Spirit is saying to us, I hear the Spirit in the psalmist saying, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again? Would you put that fire within us again? We got to be together in this, brothers and sisters. I wish everyone would have come up this morning and gotten out of the pew. Come and pray. I'm not indicting anyone. I just wish everyone would feel, well, brother, I can't walk or I can't go down. That's okay. You can pray where you are. That's true. But it's, do we feel that need? This is serious business we're talking about here. This isn't just coming to church. Well, I belong to that church and I go once a week or twice a week or whenever I go and I'm good. No, that's not it. This is about our life. Our life in Christ, it's a vocation. Be worthy of the vocation for which you are called. It's not, well, I attend church on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. That's not it. It's a calling. You've been placed into the body of Christ. You've been made a part of the body. And if you are part of this body, if you are part of this church and a member of the body of Christ, then you have a responsibility. That we pull together, that we pray one for another, that we hold each other up in prayer, that we minimize, we absolutely do not gossip and criticize one another. We see a brother that's weak or a sister that's weak, we lift them up in prayer and say, oh Lord, would you reach to that brother? Reach to that sister. We need revival. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said in his letter, stir up the gift that is within me, in you, that came on you by the laying on of my hands. When I laid hands on you and you received the Holy Ghost, he says, stir up the gift that is within you. Brother Cole's testimony is the essence of the message this morning. What do I mean by that? The Lord did a marvelous work in that young brother. And it's not done yet. He's going to fill him with the Holy Ghost. Amen. But his desire is to reach out to a loved one and bring the good news of the gospel. Now, if he were lukewarm and he were just attending church because that's the thing you do, would he have that same desire? I don't think so. A lukewarm Christian doesn't have the joy. A lukewarm Christian doesn't have the desire to pray for the Holy Ghost, to pray for loved ones. Self-satisfied. Read it. Why do we need revival? Paul writes to one of the churches, Thessalonica, he says, fervent in spirit, always at the boiling point. Fervent in spirit, not hot and cold. Not down one day, up the next. Fervent. There's a fire within us. There's something that's causing us to draw closer to God. Something that we want to see the work of God progress. Lord, help us. We need to be into the Word. The psalmist says, a word, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It gives light and it gives understanding. How many of us only read the Word when we're in church? You don't have to answer, but how many of us? Jesus said in John, the 6th chapter, my words are spirit and life. Praise God. I love in one of the epistles that Paul wrote, he said that the Word is sharper than a two-edged sword, cutting to the joints and the marrow. It goes right down to the heart of the matter. Well, I don't understand it. Read the Word. Pray before you read the Word and just allow the Spirit of God to move upon your heart. We need to worship. We need to worship the Lord. I had a message a few weeks ago in Psalm 100. Come before the Lord with gladness. And with singing, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Oh, praise God. Oh, Lord, help us to come with worship. And not just when we're in the service, but you know, during the day and in times, thank you, Jesus. Just worship Him and praise Him. In your prayer life, start out with praise. Start out with worship and say, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for what I have. We're hurried to bring our problems and our issues, and I understand that. I do that too. But the Lord has tempered me and saying, you know, when you come before the presence of God, oh, Lord, thank you for what I have. Thank you for the health. Thank you for the understanding. Thank you for revelation. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for sustaining power. Thank you for all that you do for my family, for how you're working in the church and what you're doing to preserve us. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. That worship should just bubble up out of us. That spring of living water that bubbles up eternal, that should come just flow out of us because of what the Holy Spirit does. When we're fervent in spirit, when we're on fire for God, we can't help but praise Him. Oh, Lord, help us. And prayer. Paul writes, again to the church at Thessalonica, pray without ceasing. Fill your day with two-minute prayers. Fill your day with your thoughts on the Lord. You don't have to kneel down, be driving your car. You be working at your desk. Lord, my mind is soaring in the heavens. Lord, you know what we need. I can't put it all in words, but Lord, you understand. Praise God. Have hope. hope. In Isaiah, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait, that word wait, if you look in the Greek, could also be translated hope. Because if we're waiting, we're hoping. They're almost synonymous. They're not exactly, but almost synonymous. But they that hope upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That hope helps us to go on. God, you can fix my relationships. You can fix my marriage. You can fix my family. You can bring things into proper, you know, proper existence the way you want. You can do it. You can lead me in a path, praise God. You can show me the path that I need to take in my life, the vocation, the career I need to take. They that wait upon the Lord, they that hope upon the Lord. Run out and fix things. That's our nature, to run out and try and fix things and make it right and do okay. No, that's not it. It's learning to wait. And most importantly, to repent of known sins. Why is unrepentant sin so devastating in our walk with God? Why? Why is that? You know what the word says? He says, but your iniquities, well, let me read the first verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. He's mighty, he hears our prayers. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Unrepentant sin hides God's face from our prayers. That's what the word said. Oh Lord, help us this morning. Help us to turn towards you. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves. You see, this thing of pride, that's what stands in the way. Pride says, I'm okay. Pride says, I don't need to do that. It's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault. Not my fault, I'm okay. That's what pride says. And pride is ugly. It's ugly. Because everything we find in the word, it says, humble yourself before the hand of God. If my people, which are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves and pray. You know, we can pray without humbling ourselves. Lord, fix my brother because he's messed up. We don't pray like that, but you know, I'm just paraphrasing. Lord, fix me. I think Brother Steve mentioned it. I mentioned it before. And we always, boy, this word, so-and-so should have been here that morning. Or so-and-so should. I hope so-and-so is listening. That's the problem. Don't worry about so-and-so. Worry about what you're hearing. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. Oh, we want to see revival. We want to see the Holy Spirit move. We want to see the power of God turn loose. Ask yourself, are we operating as is described in the book of Acts as the early church did? Are we operating in that? When we measure ourselves against the word, how are we behaving? Is there unity in the congregation? Are there factions? Are there past hurts that people haven't gotten over? I think of Joseph. It always comes to me about Joseph. This young man was sold into slavery by his brothers. His own family sold him into slavery. But God was with him. Did he hold it against him? No. God wouldn't have been with him if he held that sin in his heart. He didn't have it. He just trusted God. And then he became an aide to Potiphar, one of the Pharaoh's high-ranking men. And Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. He didn't give in. And she accused him falsely. He ended up in prison. In prison, two aides of Pharaoh were thrown in prison because Pharaoh got upset with them for something they did. One was a butler. And this butler had a dream. In talking to Joseph, Joseph gave him the interpretation of the dream. It got him out of prison, and he told his butler, he says, when you get out, put a good word in for me for Pharaoh. Well, he forgot, completely gone. 2 years went by. But finally, Pharaoh had a dream. And the butler remembered, oh, wait a minute. I met this young man in prison who interprets dreams. And lo and behold, we know the rest of the story. Was any of that ever cleared up? Was he ever cleared? Was his name cleared? Did it ever happen? No. Did he hold it in his heart? Even his brothers came to Egypt, didn't recognize him. He blessed them. We got to let those things go. You may be right. You may have been hurt. You may have been unjustly hurt. Nothing you could do the way someone treated you. Whether at work, whether in church, whether on the job, wherever the situation, that may be. Are you going to let that keep you from God's blessing? Brother Ron, it's hard. Sure it is. If we want to nurse, if we want to play the pity party game, I'm not minimizing it. Don't get me wrong. I've been hurt. Been lied to. I've had my bumps and bruises just like you have. But you know what? You got to rise above it. You got to say, Lord, give me grace. Help me to overcome. Because you are the ultimate judge. You're in control. It's not what happens here. It's the rewards that come later. Praise God. It's the glory. It's the presence of God. It's the blessings that come from a life surrendered to Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, give us grace to overcome those things. You may have a low opinion of yourself. Well, I'm just nothing. I'm not anything flashy. I'm not the smartest, the brightest, the tallest, the strongest, the whatever, the fastest, whatever. Rest in the fact that you're a child of the living God, that you have been called by His ultimate love and mercy, that you are someone in Christ Jesus. Praise God. a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Praise God. Oh, glory to his name. Hallelujah. You've been redeemed, my brother and sister. It's not the physical qualities that you possess. It's the love of God that surrounds you. Praise God. And the blessings that he affords. Praise the Lord. He called you into his marvelous light. Do you know how many are going to miss this? Because of their own volition, because of their own choices. You know how many are going to miss following the Lord? How many are going to miss going to heaven? But God chose you and you and you and every one of you. You're not here by accident. You're not here because you're related to someone. You're here because of the love of God. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, you're so good. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, help us this morning. Help us to rejoice. Help us to have that spirit of prayer for revival. We need to see God work. We need to see God baptize. Our young people are going out into a dark world. And they need the presence of God and the power of God. They need the shield about them, praise God. And God provides that shield, but you and I got to pray. We got to intercede. We've got to intercede for the work of God. I want to see loved ones come back. I want to see those cases that somebody said, it's impossible. There's no way this man, this woman is going to change their mind, that they're so far, they're so hard-hearted, God can't do it. I want to see them sitting in the pew. And I want to see them when they come to the altar and be praying for the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And I want to see them lifting their hands. And I want to see tears coming down their face. And the glory of God all over them. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wilt thou not revive us again, oh Lord? The psalmist expressed it as the deer panteth after, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after God. Lord, give us that hunger. Give us that hunger. Praise the Lord. Been dry too long. I thank God for what he's doing. See signs of rumbling. Brother Steve had Wednesday night, I believe, break up your fallow ground. And you know, I've seen instruments, I think, that the farmers use to break up that fallow ground, is these discs that they drag through the soil, and it turns the soil over. And what does that do? It uproots all the weeds. And what are the weeds? A type of sin, you see. That hard ground where only the weeds can penetrate. Not the word, not the seed, but the weeds. You ever see, next door, the lot. We dumped that dirt on that lot, and what happened? All the weeds grew up. We tried to plant grass the first time. Hardly any grass came up, but boy, those weeds. It can really grow. Break up your fallow ground. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, help us. Help us all to break up our fallow ground. We got places that are hard that need to be broken up, places that we haven't examined, places that pride says, don't go to that area. Don't touch that spot. I'm okay there. No, 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 no. Break it up. Something needs to be broken up, turned over, so it can accept the seed, the word of God. so the rain from heaven can make the fruit grow. Oh, Lord, help us. I'm going to close right here. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Lord, we're looking for that day of rejoicing. We're looking for your glory. We're looking for better days. Praise God. You know, I hear the candidates running for president say, the best days are ahead. And I don't necessarily agree with that. In this world, if they think the best days are ahead, I'd take another look. But I can tell you in Christ Jesus, the best days are yet ahead. Amen. I can't say that about the world, but I can sure tell you about Jesus. Amen. His promises are yea and amen. Until the final day, the very best day, when he comes to take us back and we see him face to face. Oh, glory to his name. That's going to be the cherry on the top. Amen. Praise God. In the meantime, we got a race to run. And we got victories to win. Amen. And we're going to see his glory. May his name be praised. Do we have a song?